If you would, turn your Bibles to Luke 16 and verse 22. Luke 16, verse 22. Stand as we read, and we'll ask God to be with us as I preach here. Luke 16, verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for us. We do thank You, Lord, for the answered prayer, not only in our lives, but in the lives of Brother Shea and his wife, Lord. And we do trust that the blessing and the privilege of having children and being able to bring them up to honor and glorify You, Lord, would continue. And it wouldn't stop with just one child or two, Lord, that You'd bless them with as many as You'd like them to have. Lord, we thank You, Lord, that we can come to Your house. We thank You that we can open up Your Word, and we thank You, Lord, that we can be encouraged and strengthened by it. We ask You to watch over Pastor and his wife and Sister Lucy and anyone else who might have traveled up there to the wedding. Bring them home safely. We look forward to their return. Lord, we always miss Pastor and his family when they're absent. We ask You to watch over them. Be with our troops overseas. Be with Brother Mike LeClaire as he leaves here tomorrow. Lord, keep him safe. Pray You'd help his wife as she's here. Lord, be with Brother A.G. as he's coming back soon. And Brother Williams, we look so forward to these men coming back. We ask You to watch over Brother John Salama and Brother Paul Kunis and Brother Ken Sissman, Brother Chris Sane and these other ones, Brother Stephen Bowman and Lou Charisma. Lord, all these men that have been frequenting our church and being a blessing to us and, Lord, learning and being discipled by us, we pray that You'd help them as well. Bring them home safely soon. And we'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. I wanted to talk to you today about this place called hell. And I know you might not have come to church today to hear about it, but that's what the Lord laid on my heart, and that's what I'm going to preach today. Because it's something that we don't necessarily like to think about or even talk about, but it's something that everyone here will have to face sometime in their life, that along the way, if they do reject the Lord Jesus Christ and reject the words that God's written in His Holy Bible, that we will end up in that place. And unfortunately, that there are probably some people in this very room that are looking at me today that will abide in hell forever. Unfortunately. Simply because you refuse to acknowledge the Word that God has given us, simply because you have rejected the work that Christ has done on the cross. And you either reject it completely and say it's not true, or you reject it in the fact that you want to try to make it your own way. But nonetheless, you'll end up in hell forever because you've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And then some of you will be here and you already know you're in heaven, or at least have a place in heaven. You're not there yet, but you have a place, a home in heaven where you'll be forever when you die. But I hope this message speaks to your heart, because I know that everyone here today has a loved one that is not on their way to heaven. Everyone here has a loved one that's near and dear to them that is on their way to hell, and they will spend eternity there in the torments of hell if we do not do something about it. If we do not take the time to share the gospel with these people that we love. And we have so many excuses. I've used them. We have so many excuses of why we can't talk to people we love about the Lord. We're afraid to offend them. We're afraid that they might step away from us and not want to have anything to do with us anymore. But wouldn't it be worth it to try? To try to tell someone we love that they're going to die and go to hell, even if it offends them? Some of us might have been offended before by the message before we received it. Some of us might have been very angry at someone trying to tell us. But oh, aren't we glad now? Aren't we happy now? This message is for both the lost and the saved here today. We have got to do something about this place called hell and those that are going there. The first thing I want to talk to you about is that hell is a real place. Hell is a physical place. Just as sure as you and I are sitting in this room, standing in the presence here, hell is just as real a place. And there are people there today, and they are suffering the torments of hell. They are there for eternity. There is no hope for them. There is no possibility of them coming out again. They are there. It is a physical place. And I get a little bit upset when I deal with different ones, and I know Jehovah's Witnesses do believe this way, and there are other groups that they say there's no literal hell. There's no real place that people spend eternity in torment. God is too loving to do that. Well, I am here to tell you today, God is too holy to allow sin into heaven. And these Jehovah's Witnesses that would like to bypass these verses that talk about hell and call them parables and call them whatever else they want to call them and not the true Word of God and try to tell people that hell is only an absence from the Lord and that hell is only a place that is what you make it. And hell is only not being remembered by God anymore. They're liars. That is not what it is. If all it were was that you weren't a memory of God anymore, then big deal, right? I could live however I wanted to live. I could go out and fornicate and I could commit adultery on my wife. I could be a drunkard and I could do all these wicked things and so what? I'm just not a memory in God's mind anymore? But God's Word says it's a place of eternal punishment for those who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and die in those sins. And we have to warn them that it is a literal place to go. It's not just being out of God's memory. It is being out of God's presence, but there's a torment and there's a terribleness that goes along with it. I've heard, and this is by more than one person, and some of you might have heard this. I've talked to others, some soldiers on the fort, and they say, this is hell here. We're in hell. Earth is hell. This is what the Bible's talking about. Really. You know, I had a really good time fishing with my boys yesterday. I didn't catch anything, but I had a good time. I don't see where they come up with that, because the Bible tells us that hell is a place of wailing and weeping, of gnashing of teeth. I was laughing out there with my boys. This can't be hell. Hell is far worse than this. Hell is far worse than your worst day on earth. This is not it. This is not heaven either. There's a true heaven and a place to go. There's no paying your way out. There's no neutral ground. There is no place where you can tell God, I know I didn't accept your word, but I didn't accept Satan either. There is no neutral ground. You are either for God or you are against God. And if you are against God, you are in hell forever when you die. Matthew 16 and 26. Matthew 16 and 26. If you turn there with me, the Bible says, For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What are you going to tell God when you stand before Him? When you die and you find out you're short and you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and His righteousness is not imputed to you, what are you going to say to God? What are you going to offer Him that will turn His mind? The Bible says nothing. There's not anything on the face of this earth that is worth dying and going to hell for. So many people want to put off trusting Christ because there's something little they don't want to let go of. There's something little in their life that they enjoy doing, and they know that if they were to trust Christ as their Savior, that would end. What are you going to do when you stand before God? Are you going to offer Him something that doesn't please Him? Are you going to offer something that is far less than He could produce Himself? Hell is a real place. You know, I was talking to a man down in Austin. I used to work for Coca-Cola, for some of you who didn't know. And I had this one machine that I used to go to every 2 weeks. And it was in an old apartment complex. And every day, because of where the machine sat, there was an apartment door on this side and an apartment door on this side of me. And every day I would open up that machine, and it's kind of a noisy job when you're throwing those cans in there as quick as you can. And every time I went to that machine, this old man would come out. He was probably in his, maybe his late 60s, mid 60s. Life had been hard to him. He looked probably older than he was. And he would come out every day and ask me for a free soda. And every time he came out, I would give him one. It was free to him. I would put money in my machine. But I would give him one every day that we saw each other. And every day, as I was filling up this machine, he would stand there and talk with me. And he told me one day, I asked him, I said, do you really know that if you were to die, you'd go to heaven? He said, no, I don't know that. And we began to talk, and I said, you know, the scriptures say that if you die without Christ, you're going to go to hell. And he said, well, I believe that hell is when you're buried in your casket in the ground. I said, really? Who taught you that? He said, well, it's just what I believe. Well, obviously, he had to hear that somewhere. But anyway, I said, you come out here every day. You've been doing this for over a year. You come out here every day when I'm here and you talk to me. And we talk about the Bible and you ask me different questions. I said, obviously, you believe me to be someone that's worthy of coming out and asking biblical questions. Obviously, you view me as someone who might know a little bit about the Scriptures and who might be in touch with God a little bit. And he said, yes, I do. And I said, do you believe that one day I'm going to die physically? He said, yes. I said, do you believe that one day they're going to lay me in a coffin and I'll be put in the ground? He said, yes. And I said, do you believe that I'll be in hell when that happens? He said, no. He said, if you're a Christian, you're going to heaven. I said, but I'll be in the box just like you. I'll be buried in the ground just like you, and I won't be in hell. I'll be in heaven with my Lord. I said, that's what you need to deal with. And I trust that he's still thinking about that, because shortly after that, I quit Coca-Cola to become a full-time missionary. And I trust he's been thinking about that and realizing that hell is not just being buried in the ground. There are many godly men that are buried in the ground, and they're not in hell. On the other hand, just as hell is a real place, heaven is a real place. The Bible says that heaven is a place where those who have trusted Christ throughout all the ages will spend eternity with God in bliss, in pleasantness, in the presence of God. If you would, turn your Bibles to the 2 Corinthians. Heaven, a place that you can obtain by trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:8. The Bible says, in 5:8 of 2 Corinthians, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. You know, I look forward to the day that I can be with the Lord. I don't want to give up my life so much that I'm going to try to make myself die to be with the Lord. I enjoy being with my wife and my children. I enjoy coming here to church. I enjoy serving the Lord. But I am so looking forward to the day when I take my last breath and I get to be with the Lord forever. When I don't have to worry about the cares of this world anymore. And that's the confidence that I have in my heart, because I know that I've put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have to fear anymore. You say, brother, you're trying to scare me and make me go to heaven. Yes, I am trying to scare you, because fear is the beginning of wisdom. You have to come to a point where you fear your condition and you fear the wrath of God before you'll turn and repent and look to Christ. Yes, I'm trying to scare you today, but it's not my words. I don't think anybody's going to get angry with me here today for preaching God's Word, but if you do, you're not angry with me. You're angry with the God who put it in His Word. Moses, when he brought the people out of Egypt, and he brought the children of Israel out, and they began to murmur against Moses. Moses was saying, what is your murmurings? They're not against me. They're against God who told me to bring you out, who put me in this direction. So if you're angry today, if you're ever angry at the preacher, if you're ever angry at pastor for preaching what God laid on his heart, you're not angry with pastor, you're angry with God who gave him that word. But I'm here to tell you that I have the confidence in my heart, not because I'm any good. I'm just as rotten and filthy as anyone else. But I have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior a little over 11 years ago. And I know that if I were to be hit by a car, or if I were to die of a heart attack or something like that, I would be in heaven forever. You don't have to turn there, but in 1 John 5:13, the Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I'm not being boastful or cocky or overconfident saying I know I'm going to heaven. I'm standing on the promises. I'm on that firm foundation. And I have the confidence of my Lord and Savior who promised me that if I called on His name, I'd be saved. And I did that. Hell is a real place. Don't go there. Listen, children, you're not going to get there on the coattails of your parents. You must have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ yourself. You have got to come to a place where you realize, even as young as some of you might be, that you have sinned against God. And that your sin nature, that which you're born with, makes you an enemy of God. And coming to church is not going to get you to heaven. Doing devotions with your parents is not going to get you to heaven. Although it'll produce that repentance, that attitude that you need to have to see your need and to trust Christ. Going to Sunday school class and quoting all your verses and getting your candies and your little stars, that's not going to get you to heaven. You have got to trust Christ as your Savior. The second thing I want to point out, and I've already mentioned it, is hell is not only just a place, but it's a place of torment. The Bible says, if you'll turn with me back to Luke, in Luke 16, the Bible talks about hell being a place and then a place of torment. In verse 23 again, "And in hell," this is talking about the rich man, "and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." He was in a place of torment. In verse 24, it goes on to say, "And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." In verse 28 says, "For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." Hell is a place of torment. Hell is not just a separation from God, like I already said, and it's not just being absent from the presence of God, but it is being in a place of torment where your body will be raked with flames forever. And I don't know if any of you have ever burned yourself. I'm sure someone in here has burned themselves. I've got a scar in my hand right there. I was simply helping my wife move some things out of the oven, and I wasn't paying attention, and I touched the little metal rail for a second, and it stung really bad, and it bubbled up, and then it hurt for weeks. Every time it got bumped, every time it got scraped, it hurt for weeks. This little 1-inch strip, no more than 1/8 inch wide, and it caused me so much agony for about 2 weeks of just itching and hurting. Hell is flames against your body forever. Every bit of you being touched by flames but not being consumed. Every bit of you being licked at and the anguish that you'll feel from that pain, from the flames. I know a little bit about what it's like to see someone die in some flames. I saw it. I saw it a lot. And it wasn't a pretty sight to see what some of those people went through before they died. It was terrible. But their relief was over as soon as it was done. You know, the Bible says that the flame of their torment will go on forever and ever. Well, if you were consumed in the flames of hell, like I said, I saw some people burn one time, and they were consumed in an instant. Maybe some of those burned a little bit longer that were away from the immediate impact, but it wasn't more than a few minutes and they were dead. How could their flame rise forever if they were consumed in hell by that flame? It's a flame that will torment you but not consume you. I believe it's that same type of flame that Moses saw on the burning bush, where the bush was there and the flames were rising up out of it, but the bush itself was not consumed. They are real flames, and they will lick at your body forever. Hell is a place to avoid. But there are more torments than just that. There are more things that go on than just that. Because of the torment, because of the punishment that you'll be going through, the Bible says that you'll wreathe and you'll gnash your teeth. Gnashing your teeth means you'll be scraping and biting your teeth together in torment and in pain. Gnashing them and just not being able to quench the torment at all from anything. It says that you'll weep and you'll wail. That in itself is a torment. I don't know if any of you have ever wept for a long time, but you know, after a while, it even hurts to cry. If you've cried hard for a long time, it hurts. You want to stop and you can't. Because whatever it is that's making you cry is still there. It hurts. There's more torments than just the flames. It says their worm dieth not. I'm not going to try to explain that. I don't know exactly what that means. But that's got to be part of the torment. Outer darkness, the Bible says. Let me go to some of these verses. If you go to verse 24 of the same verse, I read that once. We don't have to read that again. We'll go to Revelation now. Let's go ahead and go to Revelation 20, 15. Revelation 20, verse 15. It says here, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Still dealing with the torment of fire. Then we go on to Revelation 13, 50. Let's move down just a little bit. Revelation 13, and I believe it's verse 50 if I've got it written down here properly. I need to find my place. 13, no, that's not it. Oh, I'm sorry. I want to go to Matthew. That's where I'm trying to get to. Matthew. Didn't see my little reference there. Let's go to Matthew 8:12, and then we'll move in order. Matthew 8:12. This is talking about the torments in hell, the condition of your body physically in hell. Matthew 8 and verse 12 says, "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." It deals with outer darkness there. Pitch black. Worse than pitch black. I know pastors use this as an example, but I did it when I went down there because he said it. And we went down to, I think it was Interspace Caverns. And we went down into that big cavern and they stop you in the midst of the tour and they have everybody kind of sit down so you won't fall. And then they turn off all the lights and they tell you to hold up your hand and see if you can see it. Not a bit. I couldn't see it at all. And the longer I stood there, the less I could figure out where I was at. I couldn't remember if there was a stone behind me or not. I couldn't remember if there were people standing beside me. I knew there were because I could hear them, but I couldn't remember how close they were. Outer darkness. Not being able to see anything, sure. The torments of hell. The weeping and the wailing. Then we'll go to Matthew 13:42. Matthew 13:42. The Bible goes on to continue the torments, dealing with pretty much the same things. Matthew 13:42 says, "And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. And they there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." And then in verse 50, the one I was looking for, "And shall cut them into and cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." It'll be a terrible place. And then 22:13, Matthew 22:13. It says it so many times. It is not just absence from God, but a place of terrible torment. Matthew 22 and verse 13. "Then said the king unto the servants, bind him hand and foot, and cast him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Here it mentions binding them. Hand and foot. I don't know where the verse is, but I've even heard people say that it's a continual feeling of falling. Not having anything sure to be on. Hell is a place of torment. But in contrast, heaven is a place that we can enjoy and spend eternity with Christ. John 14, 1 through 3. You can turn there. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I missed a small portion in there. But it's dealing with the fact that God has prepared a place for those that trust in Him in heaven. And that's where we'll be with Him forever. The Jehovah's Witness would like to say 144,000 are going. And that's already taken up. And the only hope we have is being left here on earth to be in paradise here. That's not what the Bible says. I have a home in heaven where Christ resides. And there is no weeping and wailing there. There is no gnashing of teeth there. There are no flames of torment. I have a verse, 1 Corinthians. Let's turn there. Go ahead. 1 Corinthians. Another verse dealing with heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Talking about heaven. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Do you know you can take your best thought, whatever you can conceive in your heart that you think heaven might be like, and you have not even touched upon it yet? I cannot explain to you what heaven is going to be like because I can't conceive it in my heart. I don't know. But I could stand here and paint you an awesome picture, and it would be much more than that. However, the Bible does tell us exactly what hell will be like. It is a place of torment. It is not a place you want to be. I move on. Verse 25 of Luke 16. It is a place of conscience. It's a place of conscience. In verse 25, after the rich man has requested this, and let me say this real quick before I move on. The rich man, he asks a rather pathetic plea. He said, just take a drop of water and touch my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. Did he really think that drop of water would have done anything? If I could put it in perspective, if a pile of bricks as big as this building fell on me, and I said, would you just take one brick off, please? Would it help? No, but anything is better than nothing, right? He just wanted something. Even if it didn't help, he wanted something for relief. It was a pathetic plea that went unanswered. But it's a place of conscience because in verse 25, Abraham says this to him. Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. He said, remember your life. Remember when you were on earth living, you received those things you wanted. You received those things that you looked for and desired. That's all done now. You can't have anything else. There's nothing else for you to request. I think it is going to be part of the torments as hell. The fact that you will remember every moment that you had an opportunity to accept Christ, it will burn in your mind. Every time you rejected Christ, every time you sat there and heard the preaching and rejected what God said, every time someone talked to you about the Lord and you said, not now, whether it was openly or in your mind, you will remember that. And you will say, God, give me another chance. God, just one more chance and I'll do it. And there won't be another chance. There won't be another opportunity, and that will burn in your conscience forever. You'll remember friends and family like he did. You'll remember that there was some that loved you and tried to tell you, and you won't see them ever again because they're going to be in heaven. You'll remember that there are others that are in the same condition you're in, and you'll say, I don't want them to come here. I don't want them to suffer like I am. You'll remember that. You'll remember the times when you mocked the preacher. You'll remember the times when you mistreated God's people. You'll remember the time when you laughed at God's word and rejected it as truth. And it will be a terrible time in your mind. But heaven will be different. Heaven will be much different. If you would, turn with me to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. You see, you'll remember every last sin you did in hell. Every last offense you made against God. Every last fornication. Every last adultery. Every last thieving. Every last thing that you have done against God. You will remember forever. Every last thing. But Psalm 103 talks about heaven. Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. I won't have to remember all the times that I failed God. I won't have to remember the John I used to be a little over 11 years ago. That John's gone. That John is gone in the way I live now because I've changed my life. God has changed my life, but I've decided to live for Christ and accept Him. And God has taken the memory of that John and threw it behind his back. Brother Keith, the old Keith you were is gone. Brother, you don't have to ever remember that again. You don't ever have to face God on that. It's gone. What God forgives, He forgets. We'll be in heaven in a place where we will not have to remember the times that we failed. Revelation 7:17. Talking again about heaven. Revelation 7:17. The Bible says here, "For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Where in hell they'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth and screaming and crying. In heaven there won't be any of that. All our sorrow will be gone. Our tears will be wiped away. And there'll be nothing to be sorrowful there." And in Revelation 21:4. I should have kept my place in Revelation. Revelation 21:4. The Bible says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Heaven is so different from hell. Instead of being tormented in the pain and the agony forever, there'll be no pain in heaven. Seems to me like a no-brainer, as some people say. Seems to me like it's an easy choice. But why do people reject it? Why do people turn away from what God's offering them? Why do they turn away such a tremendous offer? And you don't even have to do anything for it except trust and believe, repent of your sins, and be saved. The last thing I want to point out here, well, not the last, but pretty close to the last. Hell is a place of unanswered prayers and pleas. If you'll go with me to verse 24, we'll back up to there. This is the rich man making a plea and a request in Luke 16:24. "And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." It never records that Abraham answered that prayer. All he said was, "You had the things you're going to have." All he wanted was for the torment to go away. All he wanted was for the memory to go away. All he wanted was to do is to change his condition. But it wasn't going to happen. It wasn't going to happen. Verses 27 through 31 of Luke 16 makes another request. This is the rich man making another request. "For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place." What he did was he requested. I started in verse 28. Let me go back to 27. "Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." First, he wanted a cooling of his torment. Then he wanted someone to go and talk to his family. Neither one, I believe, was answered. A place of unanswered prayer. A place that will go on forever with the pleas. You'll beg forever, but nothing will ever happen. You won't get to a point where you understand that God's not hearing you anymore. You won't ever get to a point where you say, I'm going to stop asking God to get out of this place because He's not going to hear me. For eternity, your only wish is that God will hear you. And you'll remember that there was a time when He said, now is the accepted time. Now is the time of salvation. Now is when God wants you to be saved. And you'll remember that. The time is not when you're burning in hell. Now you want to accept Him. unanswered prayers. You know, the Bible says in, let me see, Psalm 66:18. I'm going to turn there because I think that's the verse I'm looking for. Psalm 66:18 talks about regarding iniquity in your heart. I looked it up last night, but I think that's what it is. Yes, Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And I know that's David talking, and he's living and he's on the face of the earth, and he's saying that if I have sin in my life, God will not hear me because there's iniquity in my heart. But when you die without the Lord Jesus Christ, and you end up in hell, and your sins are forever upon you, God cannot hear you because you died in your iniquity. They are constantly and continually upon your heart. They were not forgiven. They still belong to you. And you will not be heard by God in hell, no matter how much you plead. A place of unanswered prayer. Revelation 22. Revelation 22. Heaven, on the other hand, is different. Revelation 22. I'm going to read 1 through 5. You see, in hell, you'll have nothing you need and request everything and not have it be met. In heaven, you'll not have to ask for anything. You'll not have any pleas. You'll not have any requests because they'll already be met. Revelation 22, starting in verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. We will have everything we need in heaven. We will lack nothing. We will desire nothing. We will need nothing. Because God has provided it all. That's a sharp contrast to what hell is like. And then I want to end it with this last point. Hell is a place of eternity. Revelation 14:11. If you turn back with me just a little bit. Revelation 14:11. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night. Again, if the flame consumed immediately, there would be no need for that statement. But you'll be there day and day, or it's going to be a continual night. It's going to be continual darkness to you. They have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Those that die without the Lord Jesus Christ, those that are in hell along with these people, it says that their smoke of their torment will ascend forever and ever. When you're condemned to hell, it's an eternal damnation. We'll go to Mark 3:29. Mark 3:29. The Bible goes on. This is still talking about how damnation and hell is eternal. Mark 3:29. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but it is in danger of eternal damnation. Eternal damnation. A damnation that never ends. God's vengeance against these people is eternal. 2 Thessalonians 1:8. 2 Thessalonians 1:8. God's vengeance is eternal. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that God will come down and take vengeance on all those that know not God. And then in Jude 7, it talks about it being eternal. Turn with me to Jude 7, a little book just before Revelation. Jude 7. There's no chapters. It's just Jude 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. God's vengeance is eternal. But the contrast is that God's gift is eternal. Heaven is not for a short while. Heaven is forever. John 3:16, you don't have to turn there, but it says, "For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I'm sorry, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You can turn with me to John 10, though, talking a few more verses on the eternity of heaven, the eternity of our state with the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 10 and verse 28. Heaven is forever. 10 and verse 28. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Eternal life, and never shall perish. These are the things that God is offering us. To those that are here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, you can have this gift. You don't have to suffer the eternal torments of hell. You can have the gift of God, which is eternal life. John 17 and verse 3. "And this is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." This is eternal life, that you can know the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Romans 6:23. I know you're familiar with it, but I'm going to go ahead and read it, because I've been misquoting Scripture. "For the wages of sin is death," talking about hell. "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Heaven is eternal. You have two choices today. If you're here and you're lost and undone without the Lord Jesus Christ, you can continue to reject God's Word. He's not going to make you get saved. You can continue to reject God's Word and you can go on your way into the punishments of hell. It'll be your choice. God did not create you for hell. God did not create hell for you. But the truth of the matter is, if you reject Christ, you will be there. It's your choice. Or you could trust Jesus Christ today and receive Him as your personal Savior and have that gift of eternal life. That's your choice today. That's your choice to make. No one can make it for you. If I could get down on my knees right now and pray for every lost person in this room and accept Christ for you and change that eternal state for you, I would. But I can't. Nor can Pastor or Brother Hammonds or anyone else. It's something you have got to do yourself. That's for the lost person, for the safe person here today. You have two choices. You can continue on with the truth that you have, and you can hide it in your heart, and you can choose not to tell anyone else, and you'll still go to heaven. Oh, you'll be sorry for it. Oh, you'll wish you had told someone. Oh, you'll stand before your Savior, and you'll realize how important that gospel message was to Him and the price He paid so that you could have it and give it to someone else. You could do that, and it wouldn't change your state of going to heaven. Or you could get concerned. You could get concerned. And you could start telling people around you about heaven and hell and about what Jesus Christ has done for them. That's the choice I plan to make, because I don't tell people near enough. It's sad when I can walk by someone and say in my mind, "Boy, they sure do need, they're going to go to hell," and not tell them that they can go to heaven. It's a sad state when I'm satisfied with doing that. I'm not going to be satisfied. I want to tell more people about the Lord. I want to be more faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. So when I stand before Him, I may not hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I don't know. I don't know that I've done what I should have done and what I've ought to have done many times. But I at least want to please God in that area from now on. Those are the choices.